Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there error or fault in him. Now, wait a minute. If one man lived without fault or error, why all this here old baloney that these preachers preach and say, well, everybody sins, everybody makes mistakes? They put erasers on pencils, you know, in the classroom, because children, when you're teaching them and they're growing up, do make mistakes. You can't give children in a classroom pens. If they do, everything's always rubbed out you can't erase it. See, they're indelible. That's the way your life is after you quit being a child. After God has given you time to grow up and mature and reach a certain amount of perfection in your life, God takes the eraser off your pencil. Then you're accountable for your mistakes, your stupidity, or your arrogance that produces those mistakes that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. That's why it's not wise to let a person get married when they're young. That's why God in the Bible let godly men and women wait till they were 30 and 40 before they could ever choose a mate that they would make the vow to live with the rest of their life until death would part them. You make a mistake and you got to live with it. If you don't, you're going to live with the wounds and the scars and the heartache and the sorrow that derives from it. You might get rid of the wife and the husband. You ain't ever going to get rid of the mark and the scar and the sorrow and the heartache and many other troubles that comes as a result of that mistake. I don't care if you make it when you're young or you're old, you're still going to reap it. You're still going to have to live with it. It's like getting a scar, getting a severe cut. You may get the cut healed, but you're going to have the wound. You may break your leg, yet grow back together. But there's always going to be a weakness there that you're going to have to give just a little bit of respect for that old break in case it don't break again when you get up grown. Now, a child's bones grow back together quickly and almost as if it never happened. A child has an eraser on the end of his pencil because he's learning, and God gives him time to learn when he's a young fella, when he's real and, well, a big infant, and then up into the adolescent stage, God gives them a period of time that they have erasers on their pencils. But after you get up to be an old big bruiser and say, hey, make my own decisions now, then God takes your eraser away from you. Your eraser don't work no more. He gives you a pen. He says it's indelible. And whatever you write, it's going to last you a lifetime, and you're going to meet it in eternity. It's going to be on your record that you face when you stand before me. You can't erase it. You may try to erase it. Some preacher may tell you God forgave you for it. God may forgive you the act, but he don't forgive you the scars and the wounds and the heartaches and the sorrow that results from it. We get letters almost every day from prisoners all over America. And you know the strange thing about it, almost all of them claims to get saved. And they're going to come here to see us. When they get out, we haven't seen the first one of them yet when he gets paroled. They get saved, you know, to try to hasten their parole. You know, they claim to get saved. And you know, almost every one of them that writes us never says he's in jail. You know, using that terminology, he always says, I'm incarcerated. You know, that's a fancy word for being put out of society and locked up somewhere. Well, what in the world difference does it make if you're just in plain old jail or you're incarcerated? You're sure paying your penalty, aren't you? You can use them fancy words if you want to for what you're reaping, for your mistakes. Lord, these psychologists and sociologists and all and fancy pants preachers today, they can tell you more good old words, you know, about God's love and compassion and all that. That's wonderful. Praise God for it. I made some mistakes and I'm still reaping. I made mistakes. I still bear the scars of it. My wife and I, we still bear those marks. We still suffered for them. And then people telling you God forgets, forgives and forgets. God may forgive him, but he don't forget him. When we make mistakes, he said, whatever you sowed in the flesh, that old mistake you made in the flesh, you're going to reap it. You're going to reap corruption. And that means you're going to reap sorrow, diseases, and all kind of things as a result of mistakes. How about these young people out here getting on dope because some old sore-headed member of our civilization here thinks there's nothing wrong with young people doing their thing, not listening to mother and daddy, not listening to the counsel of God, not believing God's warnings again and again that if we commit sins, we're going to reap them. Like old Saul that wouldn't listen to the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 26 and 21. He said, I've played the fool and I've erred exceedingly. My mistakes have been excessive in what I've done. And you see him later. That's in 1 Samuel 26. Then in the 28th chapter, he goes to a fortune teller. He errs even worse in going to find an answer from somebody that's equally confused as he is. And he goes to the witch or to the palm reader. And she tells him, tries to tell him what he wants to hear. But somehow or another, God wouldn't permit it. While she was trying to conjure up some old revelation to him out of her own spirit, God permitted Samuel to rise from the dead and speak to him and says, hey, tomorrow you're going to be with me, you and your family. And the next day, him and his sons were killed in battle. Saul fell on his own sword, and his sons were slain in the battle with the Philistines. James 1:16, the Holy Ghost cries out, said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not be full of mistakes, my beloved brethren. Who wants to listen to these old preachers telling you go around and make mistakes all the time and still have favor with God? Let me tell you, you can keep on blundering around and being a blunderbuss and a stumbling block to everybody else by your own mistakes until God gets enough of you. There's a many a Christian in America that professes they're in grace and they're in disgrace. I've had many people ask me, I've lived 61 years. I made mistakes. I've tried to correct those that I made that were the kind that I could observe, that were manifest, and I knew there were mistakes. I've tried my best to profit by mistakes I made, but I've had to reap every one of them, and my children has had to help me reap some of them. You don't get by with it. And I'll tell you another thing. I purpose in my heart not to make the same mistake again. Now that's what God wants out of us. You do have some compassion. You do have some mercy. If you say, God, if you'll help me out of it, I won't make the same stupid blunder again. Lord, have mercy. Don't you think God's got grace enough to keep you from making the same old act of stupidity that got you in that mess to keep you from doing it again if you'll make a vow to him and pay that vow? Say, Lord, I'll do this for you. If you'll help me get out of this mess, I won't make that blunder again. God, have mercy sakes. Heard one preacher say, two preachers was talking about another preacher. He said, you know, that preacher made a bad mistake, brother. That preacher looked at that fella and grinned. He said, he didn't just make a mistake. He said, that fella is a mistake. There's a lot of folks like that, a lot of Christians. They are a mistake. They just blunder through life all the time. They're stumbling blocks for others. Let me tell you, the Bible said, Jesus said himself in Luke 6 and 40, he said, the servant is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Perfection means you quit making the mistakes that can destroy you. You quit making the mistakes that can destroy others. You quit making them blunders that bring to you heartache and sorrow and defeat and ruin and death. And you can do it by God's grace. That's what the grace of God is for, to help you to quit committing them old blunders that made you a mess in the start, in the beginning, and made it many times possible for you to come to God. Those mistakes many times that we make are the only ways and only means that God can bring us to that perfection, or even to that starting post to getting us saved. It was mistakes that I made that caused me to submit my life to God. Because I made mistakes, I could not solve them. I didn't know what to do with them, and they were bringing ruin to my life and to my young marriage that had only been 2.5 years from its beginning. Mistakes are not always bad, because even in mistakes when God